Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so first up, this... I want to do the nunchuck one. I love nunchucks. Tampa Free Press. A Florida man faces 10 years after deputies find a gun and two swords and nunchucks. This is in Cape Coral. The 43-year-old man faces a maximum penalty of 10 years in federal prison. He was driving carelessly. He was going more than 100 miles per hour. And a Sarasota County Sheriff's Office stopped him for speeding. They conducted a background check. They found he was a convicted felon. He was on federal supervised release. He was on drugs. He had a firearm in the vehicle. Then they got the nunchucks from the driver's seat. Then they got the sword. I mean, for crying out loud, what did he not have on him? He's back. And if you thought he was going back to the pokey, guess what? You're right. He totally is, because he violated his supervised release, his terms. This Fort Myers man was arrested for dump truck arson. I'm really trying to understand his beard.
I saw that. It's part Amish.
Almost. Yeah, it's like a strap that keeps on his bowl cut. I don't know. The 43-year-old, right? Is he 43? 23-year-old. His Jason Kinsley was arrested by Fort Myers police detectives. They said that because he's apparently been setting dump trucks on fire. There are a couple of different instances. So they determined it to be arson, Bureau of Fire Arson Explosive Investigations. They interviewed him. They determined he was the arsonist. And then while he was being interviewed, he admitted to being present for another car fire. And then just came out and said, yeah, we were lighting cars on fire at a junkyard. So he's totally arrested. I mean, why is that your... Do you not have a hobby? Like, pickleball is really popular right now. Like, that's what he chooses to do? He's 23 years old, for crying out loud. Like, you're doing that instead of... Like, you could be doing pickleball instead of setting stuff on fire. There you go. I don't know. Let's see. I got a couple of others here. This, a Fox 45, or 35. Florida man was arrested after deputies recovered 88 grams of cocaine and a false ID. He looks very pleased with himself. Omar Feliciano looks very pleased with himself. Volusia County, they found 88 grams of the cocoa. Someone tell Hunter. Over $4,000 in cash, a fake ID. He's facing a bunch of other charges, too, because he had possession of narcotics with intent to distribute, fraudulent Puerto Rican ID, armed trafficking of cocaine, resisting arrest without violence, a whole bunch of other stuff that they're not even actually getting into. Oh, he was in illegal possession of a firearm because, yeah, his record, all the drugs. He has two felony warrants in two different counties. Now he's being held without... Over $500,000, $511,000 bond is what he's in on. He looks super happy, like in his mugshot. Most people don't look that happy. What's wrong with him? Why does he look that happy in his mugshot? That's not right. Not right at all. We have a lot more to get into. We have a third hour on the way. Coming up, we've got culture. We also have the latest with 2024, the Ray hearing, so much more. Stick with us. Kel-Tec launched into 2023 this year with a new addition to their lineup of innovative high-performance firearms. The new Kel-Tec P15 has broken the mold. Compact and maximum firepower generally don't go hand in hand. However, the P15 offers both in a uniquely small package. The P15 is an excellent choice for concealed carry. It offers plenty of dependable firepower to secure your world. This Striker Fire Pistol is the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm handgun on the market. At only 14 ounces, 7/8 inches wide, and a 4-inch barrel, you could say mini, but mighty. The double-stack magazine holds 15+1 total capacity. That's standard. All Kel-Tec firearms are made in the USA and come with a lifetime warranty as the original owner with proof of purchase. Sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. The P15 is an excellent choice if you're looking for concealed carry. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com. Secure your world with Kel-Tec. This story is a culture war, some culture war stuff, which is super appropriate. Costco is apparently delivering the death blow to Bud Light. They gave him the Star of Death. So that's, I didn't know this. So this is apparently, they have a way of how they do business. They have, I'm going to pull this up. Star of Death. Do you know that?
I didn't.
The Star of Death. So this comes by way of Newsweek. Photos shared on social media show that Bud Light has allegedly received Costco's so-called Star of Death. A small asterisk at the top right-hand corner of items price tags, which the retailer uses to signal that a product will no longer be restocked. Once it's sold out. It shows price tags for all these Bud Lights at all these different Costco stores. And one Twitter user said Costco was selling a 2x12 pack for $14. They said they were practically giving it away. Oh, my. There's lots of photos. Oh, my. Yeah, they had all the asterisks by it. Oh, wow. All these different Costcos across the country. The Star of Death. Now, Reddit has said that some Costco stores might choose to only not restock the 16-ounce cans. And then continued selling some of the other 12-ounce cans, which is a more standard size. But apparently there was a photo showing an asterisk in a different store in a different part of the country showing an asterisk on the 12-ounce can. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see. They're having some issues, the Bud Light. It keeps happening. Now, while reporting on this, there's a correspondent over at CNN named Ryan Young, who's probably going to get fired sometime. I'm just saying. Because this guy, I'm going to make fun of him. He's the senior executive at NBC Universal, retired, and he calls himself Hollywood's ultimate insider. His name's Mike Sington. Anyone who calls themselves Hollywood's ultimate insider isn't. So he goes after Ryan Young. He says, quote, CNN correspondent Ryan Young misgenders Dylan Mulvaney twice during the report, calls her he and him. Here's the video of Ryan Young's report. Listen to this.
This time from the LGBTQ community as well. Let's get to Ryan Young. He's following all this. Ryan, this seems to be the controversy that just won't quit. What now?
Yeah, you know, we are talking a lot these days, it seems like, about culture wars. I mean, just that last conversation you and Sarah were having kind of dovetails all into this, because everyone seems to be taking sides over everything. And it really got to the point where we went out to the streets to talk to people just to get their ideas about how much confusion and how much anger has been caused by this Bud Light controversy. Just listen to the people on the street who are sort of upset that this has gotten taken so far out of hand.
He says he and him talking to CNN. Oh, man. And they're mad. Mike Sington is mad. This NBC guy, this Hollywood insider, says Ryan Young is misgendering Dylan Mulvaney. You know why? You know why? You don't control speech, bruh. And not to be mean, but he was born with a peen. Like I said. That's because Dylan Mulvaney's a dude. There's no such thing as misgendering. Literally no such thing as misgendering. That's not even a word. You know how assault weapon isn't a real thing? Neither is misgendering. Exactly. The only way you could misgender someone is if it's like Pat from SNL, which you could not even do that as a segment today. Although I think Pat was a chick because it was played by a chick. Yeah. So I'm just saying. But that's not a real thing. But this guy, he was trying to get a rage mob going against this contributor, this Ryan Young dude over at CNN. He was trying to get a rage mob going against this guy because he used the correct scientifically backed pronouns. Now, I don't know that anyone's taken it, because I feel like at least on that front, people are mad. They're just done with it. They're done with the rage mob. You're not going to sit here and control a dude's speech or a woman's speech. You're not controlling anybody's speech. Just stop. You can't sit here and force other people to accept someone else's make-believe self-perception. This is not how it works. Otherwise, my bank would believe that I'm a billionaire. And they don't. They're mis-economicking me, making that up. We have a lot more on the way. We got headlines coming up. It's true. You know it is. Come on.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So first up, this from the FDA. The FDA is now approving for the first time over-the-counter birth control pills. They did this today. They approved the birth control pill, O-pill, to be available over-the-counter. Can't wait for Democrats to oppose it, just like they did the previous two times that Republicans try to push for this to happen, you know, because it takes money away from Planned Parenthood. It's the first non-prescription birth control pill in the United States. First, it's a mini pill that only uses progestin, apparently. So they said it's a milestone, a big leap forward. So that was approved today. Now, the FTC is investigating whether or not ChatGPT actually harms consumers. So the Federal Trade Commission has opened up an expansive investigation into OpenAI, looking into whether or not the maker of the ChatGPT bot has run afoul of consumer protection laws by putting personal reputations and data at risk. The agency sent the company a 20-page demand for records as to how it assesses and addresses those risks. That's according to WaPo. So it's the fastest growing consumer app in history. It's set off a AI arms race in Silicon Valley, which is it's true. That's a good way to describe it. Also, this from Jerry Dunleavy over at I want to say this is over at Free Beacon. So they said that new details on the Chinese spying sagas related to Eric Swalwell and Dianne Feinstein. Some pretty big details on this. In fact, apparently the FBI was, sounds like they said the FBI was involved. You remember Fang Fang, the whole situation with Fang Fang and how she was like she's this Chinese national, et cetera, et cetera. So apparently the FBI top brass may have politicized the investigations into it. More on this in a minute. There's this scoop. Very interesting. Remember Eric Swalwell? I cannot stand him. Eric Swalwell looks like he smells like old cheese. He just looks like one of those guys that has like dandruff and film on his teeth. And you guys know what I'm talking about. Don't act like you don't. Now, remember how I say politics isn't personal? It doesn't have to be. Okay, with him it is. I don't like him. It has nothing to do with politics. Actually, it has to do with politics and personal. I think he's a chauvinist. I'll never forget when he told me he couldn't talk to me. He wanted to speak to my boss. And I was like, I am my boss, B. Are you? So there's a scoop on the Swalwell Fang Fang stuff. Apparently, FBI brass played politics with the investigation. Who knew? Jerry Dunleavy had the whole report. Very interesting. He says that the details on the Chinese spying sagas related to Swalwell and Feinstein, but remember, she was driven around by a Chinese spy for how long? Decades.
Yeah, long time.
They say the revelations raise some serious concerns about how the FBI's top brass may politicize the investigations. They limited, apparently, the ability of agents to fully investigate CCP espionage targeting two high-profile Democrats. Now, they said that it's, according to a former FBI official from Counter Intel, and they say that Fang, a.k.a. Fang Fang, of the Swalwell fame, and Russell Lowell of the Feinstein story were believed to be co-optees of the Chinese Ministry of State Security, MSS. That is the Communist Chinese Party's Intel and Secret Policy Agency response for foreign intel and counter-intel ops worldwide. Fang and Lowe, which kind of sounds like, sidebar, sounds like a boutique. Fang and Lowe, where you can get super expensive ice cream. Nancy Pelosi loves it. They were specifically interacting with and speaking to the MSS 12th Bureau, which is a CCP spy bureau. And Fang was a Chinese national who targeted all kinds of politicians. She was very, very close to Swalwell. Low was an ethnic Chinese U.S. citizen with a key staffer for Feinstein in her Senate office in California. And he was a representative representative for her with the large Asian American community within the state. So they both had contact with CCP intel officers at China's consulate in San Francisco. And Fang and Low knew each other. They were pictured together at Chinese related events. And in both instances, FBI investigations were essentially ended when the leadership decided to provide defensive briefings to Swalwell and Feinstein, citing their key roles, rather than allowing the investigations into the Chinese spy efforts to continue. They said that the FBI offices in D.C. and San Fran came together in 08 and 09 to try to figure out how to deal with the MSS and Chinese intel targeting of these politicians. Now, he adds that the new details show that, because Axios did a story on this, you know, there was, the FBI absolutely believed wholeheartedly that there was a sexual relationship between, you know, Farts McGee and Fang, right? You know what I'm talking about. How do you do that on TV and you're the host and you don't say something? I'd have said something. According to the former FBI official from Counterintel, the FBI had FISA surveillance up and running on Fang Fang. And they knew, apparently, she was targeting Swalwell. And so a lot of the stuff she was doing, her communications, her comings and goings, all of that was monitored. Now, the FISA related to the suspicions that she was a CCP agent. They didn't think that she was an intel officer per se herself, but they did believe that she was an absolute instrument for CCP intel. And she was on the radar of CIA, NSA, the FBI, and they also believed that MSS, that's the CCP op, that they knew members of her family. So they opened up, according to Dunleavy's report, a parallel public corruption case that was related to all of this, and they made Swalwell the subject of the case as well because he had been involved with her, right? And so they said that they were looking at donations from the Chinese government, possible quid pro quo, bribery, and she was involved in all kinds of fundraising for his 2014 reelection bid. And apparently she facilitated illegal foreign donations to Swalwell. Huh. So his office provided an internship for Feng's family friend, and they FBI thinks that was a favor to Feng Feng. And then he was named House Intel Committee by Pelosi. And so the FBI's, you know, top leadership decided, ooh, we got to give him a defensive briefing. And that effectively apparently shut down the dual investigations by the Bureau. So they said that there was a lot of disagreement about the briefing from the FBI agents involved, because some of them, they wanted to keep investigating. There was something there to investigate. But the public corruption side, they said the public corruption side did not want to close the case. They wanted to keep going. But counter intel, they said they didn't want to close the case either. But it was FBI higher-ups that overruled them and shut it down. She left really fast when she learned what was happening. And DOJ never publicly charged her with a thing. And so they just kind of brush it off. They're like, oh, no, Swalwell long ago provided information about this person. And, you know, he met her more than 8 years ago and he hasn't seen her in 6 years. And so he's not going to participate in the story, in any stories. Wow. And Lowe, Feinstein's spy that she didn't apparently know was a spy. These people are on intel committees, for the love. Apparently, she discussed all kinds of she discussed stuff with him because he apparently discussed a bunch of stuff with CCP. Well, he was a staffer with CCP Intel. And their investigation into Lowe moved slowly for a few years. And then that was moved from being a counter-intel op to a counter-espionage. And then finally, the FBI was legitimately concerned by what he was up to. And so they worked on getting a FISA against him. The FBI drafted the FISA targeting Lowe and the Bureau, all this other stuff. They got all the agencies involved, DOJ, National Security Division, NSA, CIA, all of this. And they said that the FISA actually never got submitted to the FISA court, though. The FBI pulled it at the last minute. There was even an initial approval to search Lowe's home, because he went to China the same time every year in December. And the FBI was planning to search for his home, but then that got called off by the then FBI Deputy Director, Sean Joyce. So FBI agents were told that, you know, they briefed Feinstein, and that the investigation into Lowe, they allowed the FBI to ramp that up because but the FBI needed Feinstein support, all this stuff. They were politicizing it. And Lowe also left Feinstein's, he ended up leaving. FBI said Lowe knew that they believed that Lowe knew exactly what he was doing. There was a tacit understanding between him and CCP. So you have former FBI officials from the counterintel department saying that the way that the FBI handled these two absolute indisputable cases of Chinese spies who had infiltrated the circles and became personal aides to Swalwell and Feinstein, they say those are glaring examples of politicization within the Bureau. And it shows how the FBI is struggling to deal with us and how there's a double standard, especially with the defensive briefings. They're used in high profile cases involving political figures. There was a briefing that was given to then candidate Trump back in 2016, but then they used that. Dunleavy reports that it was actually a pretextual briefing, which the FBI exploited to advance Crossfire Hurricane. Is that not something? Whereas the defensive briefings given to Swalwell and Feinstein ended the investigation into Feng and Lowe.
We're all equal under the law.
Wow.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.